Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Story, kid.
Ah, there you are now.
She's gas crack.
She's some bjor.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Relax the cocks.
I will, yeah.
We ever give over.
What did a breath did I say?
Here's your one. Hello, Giaguich. Kind of taught you what is the crack. How are you all? This is Tis Yourself. This is the second episode of 2024. Now, I wasn't planning for it to be this long between my episode with Erica Cody, who, of course, was chatting to me about her hopes to represent Ireland in Eurovision, my last episode in January, and of course, the first one of 2024. But unfortunately, I got really sick. I'm sure the whole country can totally vibe this. Oh my God, this cold I had for 3 weeks, I think. It's still at nighttime, I still have a bit of it. And everyone was like, oh my God, is it COVID? I was like, lads, it's just a rotten, stinky cold. And it was horrible. And it was so long. I actually just was like, it was just awful. I think anyone who follows me on Instagram has probably heard the video I put up with my cold, with my completely stuffed nose, very Phoebe from Friends man voice. Remember when she had a cold and my sticky shoes? She sent me to sound class. I sounded like I smoked 40 Benson an hour and it was just terrible. I sounded like I could have been in the Dubliners. So yeah. It wasn't a good look for me, but I just didn't have very any energy. And, you know, because I still was working. So as soon as I got to 5 o'clock, lads, I was wiped. So that's my long explanation of why it's taken this long to get an episode out to you. But I have a great episode today. And then next week, oh my God, I have another great episode coming up, an American superstar. I put up a little hint on who that's going to be on my Instagram. So I said it's someone who was a recurring guest star on one of the biggest shows of all time. Okay. Get your mind working on what that could be. And this person was also in a big, huge drama of the early 2000s. Okay. So if you think you know, send some DMs to me on Instagram, on Twitter, whatever. And yeah, I'll let you know if anyone gets it right. But so far, nobody has. But yes, that's next week. Go back to today. Okay, so this season I had the lovely Jay Carter on, who of course was the winner of season 2 of Dancing with Stars. And I had Johnny Ward on, who from Love Hate, but he was also in Dancing with Stars. He came runner up in his year as well. So I've had celebrities on from Dancing with Stars, but I've never on the podcast in all 5 seasons, I've never had one of the pros on. So that ends today, guys. And I got the fabulous Laura Nolan on with me. She has just been eliminated there a couple weeks ago. She was paired up with Shane Quigley Murphy from Fair City, and unfortunately they didn't progress as far as to the final because the show was still on. But she gave me a great insight into the dancing world, which I know apparently nothing about. And I have a friend who's an Irish dancer, and they will not be impressed that I know nothing about dancing. I don't, like, you know, bit of shuffle and stuff, but I mean, like, I know nothing about the politics or any of that kind of side of stuff. She'd also talked about how she ended up on Dance with the Stars this season, of course, and how she macnabbed herself a little boyfriend while on Dance with the Stars. Yes, pun intended. So you'll have to stay tuned for all of that. We had great crack with Laura. She is just lovely and obviously stunning and fabulous, and it was not my best decision to talk to her first thing on a Monday morning when I was on a, like, day 3 of a hangover and still had a bit of a cold. But I didn't do anything for my self-esteem, which was so sweet and so lovely. So I really hope you enjoy this. Please, please, please share it if you do. Send it to your Dancing with Stars fans and friends. And anyway, I'm going to stop waffling. I'll be back at the end of the episode. But until then, here is myself and Laura.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good.
Thanks a million for agreeing to chat to me.
Thanks for asking me.
I suppose people will know you obviously from Dancing with the Stars, but like I feel with the pro dancers, we only kind of know them when they're on the show. Actually don't know that much about like you beforehand. So like what age would you start dancing at?
So I started dancing at the age of 3. I started ballet, ballroom and Latin all in the 1 week. My mum was a dancer, so the minute that I could, she put me into it. And I continued all those 3 up until the age of, I've stopped ballet at the age of 17. But at that point, I had already like travelled to England and to a few places in Europe with ballroom and Latin. Ballroom and Latin is hard because you always have to have a partner.
Yeah.
So like you're kind of depending on having a partner. So I had a few different ones going through the years. I did my first 10 dance championship. 10 dance would be like 5 ballroom dances and 5 Latin dances. I did that competition for the first time when I was like 6, and I won the Irish championship. That was my first Irish championship win when I was 6. So I then decided around 15, 16, I was like, right, I need to make a decision here for my own career. I actually was over in London for ballet at that point. I didn't have a dancer. Actually, I think I'm getting these dates wrong. It wasn't 17. This was when I was 13. Mm. I didn't have a partner in ballroom at the time. And I got offered a scholarship over in the English National Ballet. And I came into the house and my mom was like, oh, this is brilliant. This is so good. And I cried my eyes out. I was like, no, because I knew this was a point where I was like, OK, you need to make a decision in your life here. And I went for ballroom and Latin. My mom was like, because my mom was ballroom and Latin. And she was like, just go with the ballet. It's so much easier. It's so much easier. And I was like, no, I just had it in me. I was like, I know it's ballroom and Latin that I need to go for. And then I started dancing with a fella from Russia. He moved over here to my house and we made my first world championship final with him. We made the final of the British, the final of the international championships over in England. And then we split and then I moved to Italy for 5 years. So I was in Italy for 5 years, and through that I was in Rome for 3 months and then moved down south to Calabria for the rest of the time. And I became world champion when I was over there, international champion, but I represented Ireland. I always represented Ireland. Mm-hmm. And then I came home, went and danced with stars. So literally there was like no turnover. I was probably the soonest out of competition when I actually started the show.
My God, I suppose a lot of people do like dancing when they're growing up, whether it's like Irish dancing or whatever, but like would never consider it to be a career. And obviously it very much was for you, like instantly.
Oh, I just knew when I was younger, like dancing is my life and that's what it's going to be. I'm always going to, I always had in my mind. I remember when my mom doesn't drive and sometimes we'd be on the bus and because I have 2 older brothers. So my dad would bring up my brothers to rugby or whatever. And I'd be on the bus on the way into town and I used to say to her, I'm going to be a world champion. This is going to be my life. And like, you know, when you're standing on the podium and thinking back of those moments and those sacrifices that you made, you're like, oh my God, I actually did it. I can't believe it. But yeah, I always had it in my head when I was a child, like, this is what I'm going to do. There was never any other question or doubt in my head.
I imagine there's a lot of sacrifices to be made, especially like while you are giving up, like you had to move, which obviously is the other side of things. But you also probably had to give up like even smaller things like parties and 21sts and all that because you're training or you can only go for an hour and stuff like that. And they seem small and, you know, but they are part of like life growing up as well.
Yeah, even when I was a child, I missed out on a lot of parties and stuff like that. But that was my own decision. It wasn't because I was made to. Yeah, like 18s and 21sts. And I think that's the thing. I think any sport at all, you need to make these sacrifices. And that's what the part of that people don't see. Like, you know, you end up losing friends and stuff over it. And there's only a very small niche that actually stuck with me and understood. Like when I was going through the years, girls from primary school, 2 girls in particular, they really understood it. And they're my close, like my ride or die friends, you know what I mean? Who's just stuck by me. And obviously you meet people along the way, like especially when I came back from Italy and came back, I met like the friends now that I have. But like that was a sacrifice that you have to make, you know. I didn't have a 21st. I had my parents had an 18th here, but when I was living in Italy at the time of my 21st, they don't celebrate it over there. And I was meant to go to Moscow for a competition and the visa never arrived in time. And because where I was living, you had to get 2 flights home. So, and the flights were already booked out by the time I was trying to get back. So I didn't have 21st. So I'm saying to myself, I'm having the 30th now. It's this year. So I'm going ham on the 30th. I'm making up for it.
Yes, you well deserved. If you didn't get a 21st, you get to clash both together and be extra all the way for this.
Exactly. You know, but you know what? Like, it is sacrifice. Don't get me wrong. And my family as well, they sacrifice a lot because Ballroom and Latin World, to go successful in it, because there's a lot of politics involved in it, it's a lot of money as well, between flights, dresses, shoes, lessons, camps. You're paying a lot for political lessons and stuff. And they sacrifice a lot. My brother sacrificed a lot. Like, they all... you know, they all were with me on the journey. So it wasn't just me. And I'm very, like, I'm obviously extremely grateful to them, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here in the situation that I'm in.
When you say political lessons, is that just so you know what the current, like, the country you're going to what, know what's acceptable to be saying in that, or what way does that work?
No, so unfortunately, like, it is a judge sport. So the way it works is, like, you have maybe 12 judges on a panel. But because the judges can teach as well, they might have their own couples.
Right.
So people, what happens is, like, people end up being like, oh, I know that X, Y, and Z is on a panel. We're going to go over for political lessons. But if you don't go, they're not going to mark you. They won't even look at you sometimes. And, like, unfortunately, that's just how the world has gone. But they're trying to reverse that now, and there's a lot of people that would, like, stick by it. No, I'm not doing it, I'm not doing it. And actually, to be fair, in comparison to other couples, there was a lot of couples who are just political. We relied more on it. We tried to just go more dancing because we believed in that. We were like, well, you know, I'm not here just to not be the best. If I'm going to win, I want to be the best. Do you know what I mean? So we really did try to believe in the ethos of that. And it to a certain degree, it's starting to go a little bit back, but there'll always be the politics in it. And I think that's the ruination of part of it, is the politics, and how people could go to, like, a camp, for example, and there might be, like, 20 teachers at it, and they might take, like, 20 lessons with each. Like, it's crazy the amount of money that passes over hands just for marks. It's madness.
Oh my God. Because, like, you see kind of the political aspect in, like, Eurovision and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, we know that country is going to give their votes, their 12 votes and stuff like that. But when you think, I suppose I never would have thought dance was like, it was that politically trained. So there are people out there that you nearly feel like you're plumossing to each individual judge to try and get them, whereas you could turn up and be the best dancer with no political
background. It's happened so many times where, like, we were the best dancer and didn't win. And that's just the way it is, because, and it's so frustrating, because you, unfortunately, you didn't go and take the judges for, like, you didn't do lessons with them, or you didn't go to their competition, or there's all different groups within the dancing world. And you didn't happen to, like, you're not part of that group. You're actually from the rival group. So certain competitions, you might not be able to dance because that competition is put on. You know that they'll just try to slate you on the marks. That's the part of it that, where my decision finally came to when I stopped competing, was probably because of that. I was just, it's now a business, and I'm tired of the business of it. You know what I mean? I was tired of that political side of it. And it wasn't just about what everyone loves to do, which is dance.
And there's also, like, the frustration part. If you're going up, like, 6 years in a row and you're like, oh, there's that judge. He's on the same panel. He never even looks at us. What is the point of me doing this? Because, like, it would drive you demented to go, and why are we even bothering paying so much money to fly here?
Yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes you're going and you're like, I know that person's not going to mark me. They just never do. Yeah. They never will. And it's so frustrating in that sense. But, and, like, the thing about it is as well, sometimes, like, when you're, let's say if you start a new partnership with somebody and you go into, like, the amateur world, let's say, right? Well, it's kind of professional now, but still called amateur, right? And you're dancing the world championships. Even if you're better than somebody in the 24, you won't get there because you're a brand new couple. So you have to kind of work your way into it, you know? So you have to go to the competitions. You have to work yourself in. You have to start getting the results. Like, there could be somebody who's a world champion, and they might not be the best world champion, because a world champion, they're never going to lose. Now, you have seen in the last few years a few times that it's happened, but in general, that's just how it is. You have your top finalists, and it's so hard, unless they move on or stop or retire, it's so hard to push into it.
I can see why you'd kind of call time on it then, because, you know, if you got an opportunity to dance with the stars or something like that. But did that come to you before you called time on that, or was it, like, when you'd quit, then they offered you that?
No, I'd actually got that offer 2 years in a row. Oh. And I was still living in Italy, and I was still in the competitive mind, because dance with stars takes up a lot of time. So you're either, you know, it would be like any type of sportsman. They just can't step away from what they're doing for 6 months of the year. It just doesn't really work like that. So I was like, no, I'm still in competing. I'm still in that mindset. And I came home in the January of 2019. Was it January 2019? Yeah. And the creative director, Darren Bennett, contacted me. He found out that I was home because obviously Brian Redman knows me really well and Lorraine, and they'd heard that I was home. And he was like, I believe you're home. Will you please come on the show? And that was when I was like, right. I put my pros and my cons out for both sides. I actually had my visa to move back to Moscow. I was going to be, not back to Moscow, but to Moscow. I was going to dance with a Russian boy over there. I went for a tryout in Pisa in the February. And then I just was like, you know what, Laura, make your decision. It's now, like, you have to see what weighs up both sides. And I was like, I've done it. I've done the results. If I go down that road, I'm just going to end up teaching and judging anyway. Sure, I can do that anyway. Do you know what I mean? Where this is something completely new. It's in the entertainment industry. You're going to open a new side of your life, you know? So it's the best decision of my life, actually.
Yeah, because I can imagine when you're doing it, as long as you are dancing, as long as you are, maybe it starts to get a bit repetitive, or, you know, because you have to do so many things to get to any sort of place. It's like, I did this last year. I did it the year before. Dance for that judge 56 times. This is a completely new avenue for you, even though it still involves dancing.
Yeah, like, it was just, it got to the stage where I was like, I'm actually sick of the politics end of it. I always love competing and I love dancing. But at the same time, I was like, I actually feel like now it's time for me to do something else. And it was a scary kind of decision to make because I actually didn't know any different in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I did the same thing, even though, like, it might have been I was dancing with a different partner or I was in a different circumstance. Competing was my life. And at one point, if you had said to me, oh no, like, you're not competing anymore, I would have said, well, then I don't have a life. You know what I mean? Like, what is life without competing?
Yeah.
And it was such a daunting decision to make because it was so different. But it was also really exciting because, as you said, I was doing something for the same amount of time. I knew it inside out, upside down. I knew that world so well. And it was so nice to just be like, right, I'm actually stepping out of that into something else where I'm getting to dance. I'm getting to try different styles of dance. I'm getting to choreograph in a completely different way. I'm opening myself up into the entertainment industry, but I'm also getting to create these amazing pieces, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was actually really, really fortunate because through the years of my dancing career, Joanne Clifton from Strictly Come Dancing, when she was still competing, used to come over and take lessons with my coach here in Ireland. And she used to stay at my house. So I knew her really, really well from when I was a child. And she was the one who said to me, because she was obviously living in Italy as well, she was in the same kind of similar situation to me, where she kind of won everything and then made a decision to, like, change it up. And I wrote to her and I said, Joanne, like, she had wrote to me 2 years prior and said, Laura, I would really recommend you doing this, like, go for it, you know, it's a completely different world, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote to her and I was like, Joanne, I'm a little bit, like, worried, you know, will I have that same feeling? Will I enjoy it as much? And she was like, you won't look back. It's the best thing you'll ever do. You'll get that same feeling of competition from your pro dances. You will, like, it's just a different way of looking at things. And I was so lucky that I actually had her to just back me up on it, to give me a little bit of reassurance, because honestly, and I've said this to some of the dancers who come on to the show this year and that's still competing, like, you just won't look back. It's just a completely different world, and it actually makes your own personal life 10 times better as well.
Yeah, I imagine being based in Ireland, at least for the 6 months that you're here, for it, whether or not you're here the whole year round, makes life a lot easier for you in terms of having a life. Like, you know what I mean? Not having to go and make all these new friends like you would have to when you're in Italy, or if you're constantly traveling, do you really have much of a social life, do you know?
I had no social life when I was competing, but that's like any sportsman, I believe. Mm. Do you know what I mean? They just don't. You sacrifice so much. You're training every single day of the week. You know, if you're not training every day, you're going to competition on Friday and you're in some part of the world, or you're gone for 2 weeks, gone off to Hong Kong, or, you know. So I didn't have a social life at all. My social life started when I moved back home in 2019, and that's when I really started to get a bit of a social life and, you know, see life in a different way. To be honest, I have a life now. I didn't have a life before. Well, my life was dance, but I did that for so many years. Like, I didn't have your generic teenagers, mad 20s. Like, I didn't have that. My life was not that. Now, saying that, I'm not a massive party animal anyway, but it was just a different type of upbringing, as you know what I mean? Like, it was just a different type of life that I had, and I wouldn't change for the world. I enjoyed every minute of it. I absolutely love what I do, and I'm so delighted that I made those sacrifices, because now I feel like I have the best life I could possibly have.
Yeah. And you got to start out, the first season you're on was with Brian Dowland. Was that the first one you had?
Yes.
Oh, that, what yes. a way to come into the competition as well.
Honestly, we had a ball. I was only talking to him. We were on the 6 o'clock show there the other day together. And he was saying, I don't know how we got any dances done because we literally just partied the whole time. And I don't know how I did it. And since that year, I think I've been actually traumatized since. I'd never go out anymore during the show. I don't know how we did it. I don't even know how we got even like one dance done because we were just laughing and having the crack so much. It was honestly brilliant. He actually helped me a lot because coming into obviously from dancing world, then into the entertainment world, I wasn't used to like interviews, live interviews, or, you know, what to say or how to do it. Or do you know what I mean? Like, I was just a little bit worried about that. Like, because you think to yourself, God, this is live. Like, do you know, I actually can't be like, her actually said that, or I messed up my words or whatever. So he used to, because he had that experience, he used to pretend like he was the interviewer and interview me in the room. So we always said he was training me in that field. I was training him in the dancing fields, you know, and it was just so, it was such a great start to start with him and start with such a big personality. It was really, we're still very, very close friends.
I imagine coming like from where you're only known in a dancing circle to being known by half the bloody country is a very weird, sharp change, where suddenly like your Instagram followers have gone up by huge amounts. Then people are stopping you in the street and going, oh my God, I saw you dancing with Bro. And you're like, who are you?
Yeah, like I suppose, you know, I never really overthought about it. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I kind of just got on with that. But when you take a stand back and step out of it, it's like, actually, that's pretty mad. Do you know, like 1 minute. Do you know what I always laughed at? Because my family and friends and neighbours and all, they always knew I danced, but they didn't know I really danced until I went on Dancing with Stars. You know, like most of my friends and family thought, what's she doing? She's like a little twinkle toes over there dancing around, like get a real job. Do you know, that was the kind of attitude that they had. Because if I did like snooker, or I did like a sport that was televised, like football or rugby, people would have seen it as a job. But because I wasn't televised, they were like, this one is just, you know, she's just flouncing around the place, you know, and thinking she's making a bit of money for it. But it wasn't until I went on the show that people actually were like, oh my God, you're actually a really good dancer. Like, you know, that's so good. I remember one of the teachers in my school, the guidance counsellor, she turned around to me in fifth year it was, and she said, like, you're going to have to make a decision what you want to do in college. And I was like, I'm not going to college. It's not for me. At this point, I had my own school in Lucan, where I live. I had like 50 children and 60 adults. And I was doing that, like, literally just to help fund my own dancing so my mom and dad wouldn't have to keep paying for my lessons. So I said to her, I was like, no, I'm going to teach. Like, that's just the way I'm going to compete and teach. She's like, that's not a real job. You're never going to make money out of that. And I was thinking to myself, 50 children, like I'm making good money out of it already. And I saw her after my first season on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my God.
Down in my local centre. And she came up to me and she said, I'm so sorry. She said, I should never have said that to you. And I just said to her, and I was like, but how many people like might have been as persistent as me? Yeah. And you maybe turned off that opportunity, or turned their mind into, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. But actually, they didn't really want to do that at all. You know, yeah. Like I just had a really, really strong background, and my parents were so supportive behind me and like, no, that's what you want to do, we're 100% behind you. But if they had been at all inclined to be like, actually, I think you should go to college, my life would be completely different now, you know what I mean? So she was like, yeah, actually, I really did think of that, you know. Since I was like, there's so much more to people's jobs and especially nowadays than just what's in college. There's so much more to it than just that. I think there's so many more opportunities out there.
Completely. Because like, not everybody is suited to college, even if it's not that they want to get into a career like yours, but it could be just that maybe I want to be an apprentice, or I want to just work in retail, or whatever it is. Not everyone is suited to that system of a college class. Like, I think about it now and go, sometimes I think maybe I should go back to college, and I'm like, oh my God, I actually could not go and be settling into a 9-to-5 schedule of like classes and stuff. It's just not for everyone. So like, you can imagine there's a kid that said to a teacher like that, I'm thinking of doing whatever. And they're like, well, I don't know, you can't. So then they get stuck. They go to college because they feel it's what they have to do. And then they never go back to their dream because, you know, it was pushed out of their head. And it's just so sad to think that Well, obviously, it's great that you just persisted and didn't take that knock in your way.
Yeah, like, I think that that's it, you know. Obviously, I would say, like, obviously you can be a dreamer as well. You have to be realistic with it. But I always knew that. I just always knew. I was like, I'm going to make this my life, you know. And I just had that in my head. And I was like, even if... I just knew, because at the time I was the top dancer in the country. So I was like, well, I actually can teach for the rest of my life if I want to do it. If I never want to do anything else, I can set up classes, dance fits, you know, do different Strictly Come Dancings around the country. And like, they're all of those things. There's so many different avenues to go into it. But yeah, I suppose I was really persistent. I always say that. People say, oh, you're lucky to be on Dance With Stars. I was like, no. And lucky what your job and where you are. I was like, no, I was persistent. That just didn't happen overnight. This was my whole life. I sacrificed everything. Yeah. Like, I worked so hard. And coming from Ireland as well, to be a world champion, it's so hard, because other countries were getting funding. They were getting 800 grand. The German champions got 800 grand a year to spend on their political career, on their sponsors, on flights, on everything. So anything, any teaching that they did was extra.
Oh my God.
We got nothing. Zero. Going to the World Championships, we had to pay our own flights. We had to pay everything. We had to pay our own hotel. And that's just the way it was. So it was, you're kind of starting off at a back foot. Mm. But then I suppose it makes it even sweeter when you actually beat all of them.
Yeah. It's like the underdog. You're like, excuse me, champion coming through.
Yeah, like, I know I'm sounding like I gave up a lot, which I did. But at the same time, it was the best thing I ever did. And I would say to anybody, if they are in what sport they're in, and they think that they can make a go of it, go for it fully. If you're going to do it, you have to go for it. Absolutely dive into it. And like, anything can happen when you really are persistent with it.
Well, I think it's you have to be realistic to the people that could be listening to this, or the people that you could have in your dance class, because the likes of social media makes it seem like, you know, you sauntered into Dancing with Stars and now you're making loads of money and your job is gorgeous and glamorous and that. Whereas you're like, actually, I've gone through 20 years of hard work, not seeing places, not seeing my friends, you know, working all day, every day just to try and get in to the championships. So like, dream big. I always say dream big and do what you can, but you also have to remember that there's hard work involved in it. Like,
absolutely. Exactly. Like, and even stepping into a new industry such as like influencing, again, that's another thing that people think, geez, that's great, isn't it? They get loads of free stuff and get paid for it. It's a job. It's hard. You're literally like 24/7 editing, trying to create content in your head. Like, it's just, it's a thing that if you want to be successful at anything, it doesn't just come overnight. It's not handed to you on a silver plate. It just never happens like that. Anything in life, be it my boyfriend at the moment, he's setting up an app, a lifestyle, a well-being app. And even that, he's 19 months into building it now. You know, it's took like a lot of financial, like, we put a lot into it, the pair of us, and like a lot of time, a lot of effort, and we still haven't got it up and running yet. And that's just the way it is in anything. Like, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're starting a business, if you're a dancer, sports person, influencer, anything that you want to be successful at, doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, and you know what? He'll announce that app when it is ready to go, and somebody will be like, "Oh, he did nothing. He just put his name to it. It's so handy, blah blah blah." You're like, "Well, actually, no. Listen, we have to put so much work into it." Because I suppose I'm around people who are influencers and stuff like that. You know, sometimes you see people assuming that they just take a video really, really quickly, and then it goes up, and it's gorgeously made, and it's fabulous and edited, and you're like, I know from editing a podcast how annoying it is. And that's just for a podcast once a week. If I had to do them every day, I'd lose my marbles. I don't know how you do it.
I know, that's the thing. I think, like, obviously you get into a rhythm, and once you kind of understand how it works, the easier it is. Mm. But it still takes time. I'm not technically minded when it comes to technology. I absolutely hate it. So I actually, it was Matthew, my boyfriend, who taught me how to actually do it all. So I'm a bit better now, but if you had got me around a year ago, I actually would have been flinging my phone at the wall. I hate stuff like that. And it would have taken me twice the time. I would have been sitting there for 6 hours trying to edit something, and it still wouldn't even end up that great.
Oh, sure. I was in London a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, oh, do you know what? I might do a little like 24-hour in London TikTok video, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, here I am filming when I'm around, thinking I'm fantastic. Have I put it together? No, because every time I go to try TikTok or CapCut or something will do something that annoys me and I go, that's it, I can't be bothered, throw the phone away, and I go, I'll do it again tomorrow, and it still hasn't been made. So I would never be able to do this career.
Do you know what I actually think as well? Do you know what stops me from, like, when I'm procrastinating over an edit? It's deciding what clips I want to put in. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd be there, be like, oh, I like that. Oh, but I like that too. Oh, no, I don't like that. And then, like, I have a collaboration coming up and I was supposed to send it last week and I had the video in CapCut ready to go and I just haven't made a decision what part of the of it that I want to use. And my agent, he said, well, Laura, will you send me the video? I'm like, yes.
Or it's like, what song do I use? And you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, what song? And then that opens up another barrel because TikTok will suggest some song and I'm like, I don't even know what that song is. What? No, stop suggesting things. Leave me alone.
Exactly. Oh, like, there's so many elements to it. I do laugh. And then I do forget sometimes. I'm like, oh, you made the video and you didn't post it on TikTok. Great. Well done. That's really good. Post it on Instagram, didn't post it on TikTok. Sure, look. It's grand. There could be worse problems.
Yeah, we definitely sound like we have real problems here. The two of us complaining about CapCut. It's like, oh, them two really have a tough, don't they?
They have such a tough life.
I had Jay Carter on the podcast with me a few weeks ago, who I love. He's so lovely. And he got with Karen, obviously Karen Byrne, on the show. Similar story to yourselves. But he was saying to me that when him and Karen got together, it wasn't actually until after the show because he kind of realised, oh, I actually miss that girl I used to dance with every single day. Maybe I like her a little bit more. What was yours and Matthew's story?
Completely different to that. it started to blossom during the show.
Yeah.
So the minute we met, there was chemistry between us. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, no, Laura, you're a professional. You're going to do the dancing and you'll get on really well. And be professional. Don't go there. You know what I mean? And it just kind of started to blossom. I'd say from around week four. Mm. Yeah, we were kind of, it was really just, there was obviously flirting beforehand and that, and like there was a few like little bits between us, but I was like, no. And then I think around week four was when I was really like, I really like him, why am I trying to like say no just because you're a professional dancer? I really, really like him, I'm single, do you know what I mean? There's like there's nothing really stopping me here. So yeah, from around then it kind of starts flourishing. Yeah, it was honestly, we think back on it and the memories that we have from it was actually quite funny. Some of the things, like, you know, I was only telling the story yesterday of he was in his apartments. It was the COVID year on Dancing with Stars. So we were all quite bubbled. And I used to, his apartment block was right beside the studio. And I used to drive in from my house every morning. And he was like, just park it here so you don't have to pay for parking that way. So I used to park my car underneath his apartment block and he'd have breakfast ready for me in the morning. But his apartment was looking out on the ground floor to the courtyard and all the production that were over. From London and stuff would walk by and they'd say to me, how's breakfast this morning, Laura? Did you enjoy it? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, yeah, sure. Sure. Another time, this is quite like coming to the towards like the latter part of the competition. I stayed in Matthew's, so it was that kind of, we're kind of starting to stay with each other. Like, bear in mind, it was a 12-week show, knowing each other from November. Mm. So this is coming to the latter half of it. And actually Font Hill, where the show is actually at the weekends, is close to me here in Lucan. And I had stayed with him on the Friday, we went out for dinner or something like that. And I was coming out of the apartment on the block and I noticed all of the production, the creatives and all standing there waiting to be collected to go to Font Hill. And I like ducked down and I was just like, oh God, I'm like, I hope they don't see me. And one of the creatives came over to me and was like, you could have at least offered me a lift. I just felt like I was doing the drive of shame. But no, the production knew, like they were, and like we were both single. So I think they kind of secretly loved it as well, you know.
Yeah.
that we were together, there was a lot. It was like, you know yourself when you get into a new relationship, it's there's something lovely about it, there's something exciting about it, you know. So yeah, we were trying not to say it to production or anything, but sure, they all had their speculations, you know. At some point they knew, and then they were just waiting for us to be like, yeah, we're together. You know,
it must be so weird. Like Jake was saying, they kept themselves quite hidden for quite a while because they were like, look, we have to see if this is actually going to work out and be something before we like make, you know, hi, we're together now. But like, then, as you say, the people around you know, because everyone has that kind of like giddy glow. And there's a difference between flirting with your boyfriend and flirting with someone that you haven't kissed yet. So it's like, I'm sure everyone around you knew, and they were just like, just say it already, will you?
Yeah. And, you know, we had a lot of press around it as well. And we were saying like, no. And at one point then Matthew was like, oh yeah, well, I am seeing somebody, but it's, they were like, is it ours? They're like, no. Because again, like, you know, even when we, like, he actually ended up kissing me on the live show, even when that happened, we had never had a conversation of like, are we actually together? You know, we were just kind of like going with the flow, I suppose, you know what I mean? Like, I have never been in a situation where I was like, will you be my girlfriend? I've never been in that situation. I just think it just naturally progresses to that anyway. We were just like, oh yeah, we are together. But we hadn't even had that kind of conversation about that. So it was coming out then as headlines of Matthew's girlfriend and their boyfriend and girlfriend, and the pair of us were like, are we? I suppose we are.
Be awkward if you turn around and you're like, actually, I'm actually seeing some other people as well. So it's kind of awkward.
There wasn't time to see anybody else, in fairness.
I'm like, who else was on that year? That you could have been also dating another celebrity or something. That'd be about the only other person you'd see.
It was quite funny because all our castmates knew. I remember Erica and Matthew, they call it a round table. With the press, and especially that year there was no the press weren't coming into the shows afterwards, it was all over Zoom. So they'd ask Matthew and Erica to be on the same Zoom together. So they were trying to catch Erica. They were like, Erica, so is there something going on between Laura and Matthew? And Erica was like, you know, like, she didn't want to obviously say anything because we weren't ready for that. We wanted to, like, kind of what Jake was saying, we wanted to see, you know, we wanted a little bit of privacy first because it's only starting, you know, you don't know how things are going to go. Is this something that's going to be just within the bubble of the show? You know, but I think as the weeks progressed, we both realized, actually, you know what, we really, really like each other. And this is not just something that's going to be just when this is happening, because it is a bubble. You're kind of in a bubble when you're doing the show. Like, you don't have time to see anybody outside it. Everyone is talking about the show, everyone's talking about who's in it, and you know, you are in, it's like anything on reality TV, you kind of are in that zone. So that was one thing we did want to keep it private for a little while until we really knew. But I think once we were ready, once he kissed me on national TV, I was like, well, that's it, outro.
Texting your mom, by the way, I've got a boyfriend, just in case if you were watching the show tonight.
I know, she knew, in fairness. They all knew. They all know, like, they all loved him. So all of my friends and family knew.
Yeah. And it's obviously going still very, very well.
Yes, very, very well. Very much in love. We're, I feel like this is going to sound so sappy, and I'm usually not this person, but, like, you know, when you just keep growing to love someone more and more, and get closer and closer, I feel like that's the way we are. Like, I love him. Like, I literally am just so happy, honestly.
It's Valentine's week and you have me all bubbled up now.
Oh, like, yeah.
Well, obviously then moving to Dance with the Stars was clearly the best decision, worked out professionally and in the old love life as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, we were only saying to production yesterday, we were like, jeez, can you imagine, you're not only produces a Dancing with the Stars, but you're also matchmakers. That's two couples now you've made from this show.
Oh my god, they should be working on first dates as well. The same production team should just join together to get the first dates going as well.
You might have more successful couples out of it.
Yes. Oh yeah, that's always the thing at the end of first dates. I'm like, they're so gonna last forever, and then it comes up and it's like, they did not meet again. I'm like, oh, for,
I know. Yeah. And you're like, what, they seemed so good.
Yeah, they're like the long distance, and it's like Kildare to Dublin. I'm like, lads, that's not long distance, come on.
No, I sure, I live right next to Kildare. Actually, that's Matthew always likes me, because we're Lucan, and like, literally the next stop is Leixlip. It's right beside us. He's like, yeah, sure, you're practically from Kildare, like, you're not really from Dublin. I'm like, don't even go there.
And is he still up north, or is he, like, I know he does be in Dublin quite a bit, but like I saw that, you know, he was doing, he was in, you were, but we're in Marbella last year, was it, for the summer?
Yeah, so we were in Marbella, we were there for like 3 months. Now, saying that, I was working on a show at the time called The Blonde Bombshell, so I kept having to come back for rehearsals, so it was very much a forward and back thing. But we were there for around 3 to 4 months last year, and then basically at the moment when the show is on and stuff, I literally haven't got a minute. I have now that I'm out. Unfortunately, I have a bit more time to myself, but he usually comes down and stays with me, you know, for that time. And then we kind of are up and down between both, but we are planning in kind of the middle of this year to kind of move in together. So,
aww.
Yeah.
And that'd be in Dublin, would it?
Yeah, we'll see. Like, we, you know, it's not very, it's, we've nothing, like, we're not really like a set in stone people. Yeah. It's just a plan. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the plan is to try, we were trying to, obviously I'd come out last year that we were saving for a house, but we've invested a lot now into this, trying to get this app up and running. So yeah, we're planning to move in together by the middle of the year.
Cute.
Which I'm very excited about. I'm so ready for.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just like when someone's staying with you quite a lot and you're like, you might as well bloody live here. So like, let's just get it and sort it and
we
make
practically live together anyway. Like, we're always together, we live together, but we're just like between here in Dublin and up north, we practically live together already, but we just want our own place, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
our own space.
You can make your own memories and not be like, have a half a wardrobe here and have a half a wardrobe up north, and you're like, where's that jumper? I really want to wear it. Oh no, if that's up in Down Patrick, I can't actually get that.
Yeah, just exactly. Exactly.
You must have been gutted though, getting kicked out so early with Shane. Oh, I was just like, felt so bad for you. Because you had done, was it that week or no, it was the week before you had done the two dances in the one show. Yeah. Woman, I don't know how you learned that so quickly and did so well. I literally tweeted it going, how? Like, how you did that?
Yeah, it was so good. I know. Like, see, Davey got immunity there yesterday. I was delighted. I had a feeling he would when I saw the dance. I was like, oh, I know. Honestly, it was so good dancing with him. It was a tricky one as well, because, like, you know, they're after working together all that week, and it was only that morning that we found out that Kylie was just not, like, she was really trying to push through on the Saturday, and she found out she had a chest infection and throat infection. And they were like, look, you just can't do it. So obviously I wanted him to do as good as he could and him to be at ease. You know what I mean? Like, I could learn the dance. I learned it quite fast. But I was like, I didn't want to be like, he kept saying to me like, I like, what else do you think? But you don't want to, I don't know what she, like, what was, she was prioritizing or, you know, what way she had thought of and stuff. So I was messaging her, like, here's the video of the rehearsal. Tell him what you want. You know what I mean? I was obviously trying to say like a few things that I thought, but obviously, like, I didn't want to step on her toes either. You know what I mean? I didn't want to confuse him either, because sometimes, like, different teachers will have different priorities, you know? So it was more, to be honest, it was more just, come on, let's go. We can, like, you're great. You can do this. And it was just, you have to do these things as a pro. Do you know what I mean? That's what you're there for. To, if these things happen, you have to step into these roles. I was just laughing at the leaderboard that week, because obviously there's Laura and Dennis as well. So it was like Laura and Dennis, Shane and Laura, Laura and Davey. I was like, Jesus, I'm on this board so many times.
Come on, the Lauras.
So, go on, the Lauras. I know, it was a great experience. I actually loved dancing with him. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it's probably like a nice little break for you, because you were so used to dance with Shane. So like, this is just something different, and it's only for 1 week only.
It was lovely, because I tell you why I really enjoyed it as well. We were dancing a quite like a sad dance that week with the theme and stuff, and then I'm getting changed into this like real lion dance, and he kind of, yeah, this is great. I love this. It was so much fun.
And so, like, what do you think that what went wrong this year for Shane and yourself? Like, because I was shocked. I didn't think he'd be out that early. Well, it's not that early.
Yeah, I like dancing wise as well, I think that he probably still shouldn't be out. I was a bit disappointed on the night with the scores from the judges, but I think, you know, there's so many different things to this. It's like, you know, who's voting for you? How are you entertaining them? Do you know what I mean? It's all about letting your true personality come across. And I feel like the last week in particular, I really tried to get him to understand that, you know, I really felt like when we were in training and stuff, he's such a nice person. But then when he was going out onto the live shows, he was getting all flustered and wasn't 100% being himself. And I really don't know what it was in particular, you're never going to know.
No.
Because we all know that his dancing was good enough to still be in. But there's just so many elements here, you just can never call it.
No. I always wonder as well, because like, if there is, like, who votes? That's what I always wonder. Like, who are the people that are voting? So, like, how do you target people and how do you make them vote, you know? So you could be doing brilliant dancing, but then you could assume that everybody's voting for them. So you just don't give your vote, you know, because you're like, oh, well, sure, look, whoever did a great dance, they're obviously getting loads of votes. That's the kind of thing. It's the actual having to people have to pick up the phone. They're like sitting at home going, yeah, you're brilliant, but not doing anything about it as well, you know, and then being shocked when they're kicked out.
Exactly. Like, I do think I've often thought of this as well. This is 4 years on. I'm like, is there anyone who's actually just watching the show voting? But you'd be surprised, there actually are. Yeah. I think as well, you know, it's friends, family.
Yeah.
Like, I usually have a lot of students voting as well, you know, on my side of things. But this year, I was just like, you know, I actually really want him to concentrate on his dancing. And, you know, it's up to him as well. He needs to get on as well, because that's a celebrity's job as well, to really push themselves. But and I was saying it to him, I was like, I really think like you shouldn't be thinking that you're safe, because nobody is. So I don't really know where it went wrong, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, I just suppose if I could go back on anything, I would have loved him to just be less stressed about trying to be so perfect. And just, and I said this to him at the time, wasn't that, like, I'm looking back and I didn't say this at all, I would have likened him just to take it all in a bit more,
yeah,
and enjoy it a bit more, and live in the moment and not be so stressed about being so right and so perfect and everything.
Yeah, I suppose it's very hard to be completely out of your comfort zone and then being on national TV and thinking you have to be perfect. Like, I would know if I was on a show like this, that I'm like, you're going to fall 5 times, accept it, just accept it. And if you only fall 4 times, brilliant. So rather than thinking of being perfect, because I suppose the thing about Dancing with Stars is we love a story. So like, if you come on and you're terrible in week 1, we love if by week 4 you're starting to pick up things and you've done an extra spin or whatever. So you kind of don't want anyone who's brilliant starting off, but you don't want them to also try to be brilliant every time. Just having, like, that's why people love like Des Cattell and all that, because they just had the crack.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And this one, I was also like, as a teacher on the show, I'm very aware of that. You know, I'm very aware that obviously my job there is to teach him how to dance. I'm creating the choreography, I'm choreographing it, I'm like teaching him and I'm helping him and stuff. But I'm also very aware that this is not only a dancing show, it's an entertainment show. And the one thing that the viewers want is to be entertained. So they enjoy, we always call it the journey of the show.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just need to go out and enjoy yourself and be who you are, the actor. Do you know what I mean? Like, you, dancing and acting are actually quite similar. You know, like, we did a show there in 2021, a theatre show through dance, and told Marilyn Monroe's life. So, and there wasn't a word spoken.
Oh,
it was
wow.
All through dance. And like, you, that's the thing. Like, every time you see anybody going out and performing something, there's a story in it, there's a theme behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to say to him, I was like, you're not going to ever be a professional dancer. You can be good, you're good, but you can act it. And I just want you to enjoy it and be in the moment, you know? Because, as I said, like, it is an entertainment show, after all. But that's why Eileen is still there. People love her.
Yes, but that's the thing, is people look like the first week and they're kind of going, oh, Eileen didn't do so great with this move. But then the next week she does something better and you go, brilliant. Okay. And then you're kind of looking forward to seeing her then when she's dancing, because you're going, you know, if somebody had a misstep, you know, someone, if they like trip or something, you feel bad for them. So the following week when they do really well, you're like, yes, brilliant, no mistakes. And they get a 7 instead of a 6, you know, it's, you know, you love that. Although I'm always trying to predict what the judges are like, are going to give. So like when I was watching last week, I was like trying to be, I was like, Brian always gives like a tough score, you know, he doesn't want to go too high. But then when he does, you're like, wow, I've actually earned it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of getting there with that. Like, everyone was laughing at me last night in the box, obviously, because I had no, like, stress from dancing or anything. So I'm just standing there watching it. And I was, like, predicting it before they came out. I was, like, 8.99. And it came out. I was, like, yes, I'm getting good at this. 4 years in.
4 years in and I am now a pro at guessing.
At guessing what's going to happen. I know we were, I was just going back to Eileen there. Like, it's not only about the steps, it's the fact that she's embracing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at her age, she's such an inspiration. Like, she's just an inspiration to everybody to, like, if you want to go do something, no matter what your age, just go up and do it. And look how she's embracing it. Like, every week I'm like, what hairstyle is Eileen Dunn gonna have this week? I just love it. It's so good. And I think Dancing with Stars in particular is a brilliant advertisement for dance. It really is. Anybody can dance. Everyone, everywhere, age, it doesn't matter. Honestly. Like, I teach line dancing and country diving. I teach dancer and I teach ballroom and Latin. I teach children. I teach adults. I teach an 89-year-old woman comes to my classes. And I also have a 3-year-old. Do you know what I mean? Like, so...
Oh, I love that.
I know, she's brilliant. I know. She's such an inspiration. She came to my class when she was 88. And she came in with a stick. And she said to me, My goal is that by the end of this course, that I'll be able to dance without a stick. And she did the whole class at the age of 89 without the stick.
I love that. Oh my God. I just love that, because it's like we were saying, you're never going to be the professional dancer, you know, to certain people aren't, obviously. So if you're just doing it for fun, like, I love Zumba. I am terrible at Zumba, but I love it because I'm not worrying about what I look like. I'm just flailing around the place and no one's looking at me because I'm not, you know, trying to be brilliant. You're just enjoying yourself and everyone's doing the same, trying to look at their steps and that. And this idea that we can't do certain things because of our age or our gender or whatever it is. I love hearing about people like that, that woman. Like, she's getting up and I'm sure people said to her, oh, you know, at your age, dancing, really? And now look at them, proving them wrong. Queen.
Yeah, she's absolutely incredible. She's such an inspiration. I really do think, like, if I had that mindset at that age, I'd be delighted with myself. Really delighted. But I always say that, like, some people would say to me, oh geez, no, I wouldn't be dancing next to you, like, you're too good. And I'm like, yeah, but that's my job. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't turn around to you and say, oh, wait until you see me on software. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't expect me to be good at it. But the great thing about dance is that, one, you can share it with people, and two, it makes you feel good. And that's what it's all about. Like, my dance fit classes, like, it's like, kind of, I wouldn't say it's Zumba. It's dance fit. It's slightly different. I just love the fact that people come and they have a bit of an adrenaline buzz. They feel good. They get exercise in and they leave with a smile on their face. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what dance is. And that's what the show is about. That's what Dancing with Stars is about. People love it. You can watch it with your nana. Your young children can watch it. And it makes people smile. It's feel good TV.
And can people join your classes now? Like, if you're based in Lucan. So if somebody wants to go and, you know, kick up their heels and they're like, feck it, I'm going to give it a go. Can they still join, or is it only at certain times of the year?
Yeah, so at the moment, obviously, through Dance Fit Stars, I didn't have my Dance Fit classes, but I will be starting them back again. Usually I do them on a Monday night in Lucan, in literally the hall, St. Andrew's School, which is right down the end of my hall. I do ballroom and Latin there as well. And then I have line dancing and country driving. That's in Cabinteely Adult Education Centre, and you can join that anytime. So we have beginners at 7 to 8, and then our intermediate and advanced to 8 to 9:30.
Oh, I'd say that's some crack line dancing.
Oh, I love it. It's so fun. It's so, like, my line dancers are my ride or diers. They've been with me for four. Some of them, like, I mean, the advanced ones, they've been with me for 4 years. And I told the newbies about them that, like, so they would come to the shows. There's like a full rundown happening every single week. When I did the Blonde Bombshell back in 2021, I was Marilyn Monroe in it. They came to watch the show and arrived in a pink Hummer limo.
Icons.
Like, icons. But you know what was also fantastic? One of them turned around to me there at Christmas time and said, do you know what, Laura? I didn't know these people beforehand. And now I would say that Catherine, one of the women, she's my best friend.
Aww.
And that was true, the show. And she, I would have had, like, I kind of had a rough time with friends and stuff. But sometimes when you meet people when you're that bit older, you know that they're going to be in your life forever. And she said I met them through this class. And honestly, there's people that I can turn to. I was like, oh, that's so nice. My job is done well. Yes.
That is so lovely. I think it can be so hard to make friends in your later in life. I think, you know, obviously in our teenage years and maybe in your 20s, you meet different groups of people. So maybe it's not that it's easier, but I feel like it's quite hard in your 30s onwards to try and meet new people because everyone has their own friends and they don't really want to open up to another person. Yeah. So to find someone like that and then to make them your best friend, that is just so cool. I love that.
Isn't that so nice? It's so nice. And I like, that's what, like, I think especially when you get older as well, like, so everyone would just be off doing their own thing. So it's just nice for people to be able to go and feel comfortable in a space and meet new people and get a bit of exercise and be happy leaving the class.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
You don't even know you've worked out, because that's the best thing about those classes, is that you're not like on the cross trainer going, oh, I have to do another 20 minutes or whatever. Because that's my problem when I'm in the gym, is looking at the time. So whereas if I'm in a class, I'm not realizing how much time has gone by. So like dancing is a great way to do that.
Exactly. You're dead right. You're dead right. And it's fun as well.
Yeah. Can you open up one near me, Laura, so I'll be more motivated to go? That would be great.
Where do you live?
I live in Cabra.
Ah, you're not too far. You're not too far from me.
Oh, now the pressure's on. Now I have to show up. I've said it on the podcast.
You've no choice now.
No choice. You'll see me there Mondays. Laura, oh my God, I've kept you an hour. I'm so sorry. I was just having such a lovely chat with you. Thank you for giving me all this time. I know how busy you are, so I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me on. It was actually so nice chatting to you.
Yeah.
It was nice, different kind of questions, because I feel like sometimes it can be quite the same, where it was actually nice to give a bit more of my background.
Yeah, and people get to know you a little bit better now and know a bit more about you as well, which is always nice. And they're not just making, you know, ideas of what they see on a Sunday night on RG.
Yeah, exactly, because that's only a snippet.
Exactly, a snippet. And sure, you might get some new dancers coming to see you now in one of your many classes, so hopefully.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You
thank
too.
You. It was great to chat. Thank you.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Laura. Bye. 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 The absolute stunning, talented, hilarious Laura Nolan there. So we had such good crack. I did take up like over an hour for a time, which is my apologies to her, but she was so nice. And now I've been roped in to do some sort of cowboy dancing, line dancing. Who's coming with me, lads? I'm going to be like Colin Farrell. Actually, Colin Farrell did it. And maybe he'll see me doing it and he'll go, Jesus, that's the girl for me. Come on down, Nicola B. Yeah, sure, sure, sure. But yeah, it was such a lovely time. Go follow her on Instagram and on TikTok, of course, as I mentioned, she talked about there. And you'll be able to find out when she's doing her dance fit and all those different classes and stuff like that. And if you are in Lucan, of course, you'll be able to go and do some dancing with her on a Monday night. And in Camatili, of course, and on the other day she talked about. So yeah, that was really nice to learn a lot about the dancing world. I'm sure you all were like me, kind of going like, political? What are you talking about? But apparently there's a lot of politics that goes into it. That is absolutely mad. Has there been any updates since my last episode? Of course, Erica was so sweet in our last episode. She didn't make it through to Eurovision, but she did so well. And I think, you know, she had so many fans working for her and all that. Bambi Thug, of course, got through. So wishing Bambi loads of luck when they are in the competition in May. But gutted for Erica. In other news, the lovely James Patrice has been knocked down with top 10 episodes. Oh, I did say I wanted to shuffle up the top 10 because they've been the same for quite a while. But unfortunately, he had been knocked out. And James is one of my favourites. So I'm real sad about him being knocked out. Actually, I love all my guests, but I do love James because I've loved him a long time. So that sounds really bad. Who did I want to get knocked out? None. But Bobby Burke from SVU is now in the top 10. So that means I've got two episodes from Law & Order SVU in the top 10. Dan Florek and of course, and Bobby Burke. Now, so if you are new to this podcast and you're kind of thinking, where should you start? Like there's no like rhythm to it, as in like you don't have to listen to one episode to go on to the next one. You can pick up anywhere at any time. Some episodes though that are chomping at joining the top 10, of course, are James Patrice, Billy McGuinness from Aslan, Rob Mascio from Scrubs, Montana Bryan from Love Island. They're all very, very close. Panty Bliss, very, very close as well to the top 10, within a couple hundred listens for both of those, all of those, sorry. So if you're a fan of any of them, otherwise, where would I suggest you start? Got a lot of listens in the last few weeks on the Brian Penny episode from season one. Yeah, season one. And if you don't know who Brian Penny is, he is a former addict and now he is a Trinity College professor. So he's like, seriously, mind-blowing story, an amazing, amazing story. What else would I suggest for you if you're new?
I've suggested loads of, mentioned there, loads of Dancing with the Stars. So if you're listening to this, you're a Dancing with the Stars fan. So we've had Jake, we've had Johnny, Panty. Who else we've had on from Dancing with the Stars? Paul Brogan. There's loads. Look, have a scroll. And of course, if you like the episode, please do leave us a rating, a review, hit follow. Come and find me. I'm on, so Tizzy Self is on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. All of the above. And I'll reply to you on any of them. So send me a little DM. Always happy to hear any suggestions of guests or anything like that. You can tell I haven't been behind the microphone in a while, lads. I am waffling. If you would like to email me, it's welltizyourself, all one word, @gmail.com. And apart from that, I'll be back to you next week talking to someone from the United States of America. Yeah. So who will it be? Thank you so much to Laura. Thank you so much to you. As I said, this is just a little podcast made by me, and I really appreciate the guests and the listeners. So I love you. Have a great day. Look after yourselves. Please, please, please be kind to each other. And slán go fóill. I'll chat to you next week.
And I'm Deb.
And we host a pretty fun podcast called Today We Laughed and Learned. You know, this is where we discuss all the things we should have learned, but, well, never did. And we have quite a few laughs along the way.
Today We Laughed and Learned with Chris and Deb.
We're curious about everything. Experts on nothing.
Come find us wherever you get your podcasts.